This was Press Watch, your weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news. Well, let me go over some of the headlines so we can place ourselves in time. There have been 2,400 deaths in 24 hours in the USA, worst in the world. Meanwhile, President Trump is trying to roll back stay-at-home orders. There are 28,500 dead in the U.S. in total from COVID-19. That's the largest in the world. The grown-ups are saying that, and when I say that, I mean as opposed to the people in the Trump administration. The grown-ups are saying that social distancing will have to be in place till 2022 unless we get a vaccine going. And, of course, vaccine efforts are going on around the world, including in Cuba. Unemployment is up 22 million in the past month. And Stephen Mnuchin says that that $1,200 check should last people for 3 months, 100 days, he says. And you have to wonder what kind of world Stephen Mnuchin lives in. Remember that time, maybe it happened more than one time, when you looked into your cabinets because your kids were hungry and you needed to make up something, and all you could find was a dusty old package of Jell-O and a packet of Nabs? Well, that has never happened to Stephen Mnuchin. He was born to Bob Mnuchin, who is a millionaire and an art dealer in New York. Steve Mnuchin has, I mean, does he think maybe that you can go to Motel 6 and pay $6 and get a room? What, how in the world does he think that you could live on $400 for a month? $1,200 for 3 months, that's just ridiculous. Maybe that's the world that Steve Mnuchin lives in. Here's a penny for you, my good man. 11,500 are dead in New York. Incredible numbers, shocking numbers. 200 dying in New York homes per day. And so what does the right wing do about it? Well, right wing mobs are wielding assault rifles and massed outside the Michigan State Capitol yesterday, demanding an end to quarantine measures. It's all hoax, they say. Mask wearing is still voluntary in Oregon as the death toll climbs to 58. Oregon state corrections officials reported to Governor Kate Brown that 5,800 people would need to be released from our prisons in order to allow social distancing. But the governor said no. So that's where we're at. The International Monetary Fund has issued a stark warning on the state of the global economy, saying, quote, under the assumption that the pandemic and required containment peaks in the second quarter for most countries in the world and recedes in the second half of this year, ho-ho, pardon my spurious comment, in the April World Economic Outlook, they project global growth in 2020 to fall to negative 3%. That's a downgrade of 6.3 percentage points from January 2020, a major revision over a very short period. This makes the Great Lockdown the worst recession since the Great Depression and far worse than the global financial crisis of 2008. Assuming the pandemic fades in the second half of 2020, here again I scoff, and that policy actions taken around the world are effective in preventing widespread firm bankruptcies, extended job losses, and system-wide financial strains, we project global growth in 2021 to rebound to 5.8%. This recovery in 2021 is only partial, as the level of economic activity is projected to remain below the level we had projected for 2021 before the virus hit. The cumulative loss to global GDP over 2020 and 2021 from the pandemic crisis could be around $9 trillion, that's trillion with a T, greater than the economies of Japan and Germany combined, end quote. That's from International Monetary Fund, and I think they're kidding themselves, but I'll get to the details of that in a minute. By the way, if you have comments and questions on what I'm reporting here, the number is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Write it in the sand with your foot there in the garden, 503-231-8187. There's a dramatic melting of Greenland's ice sheet in the summer of 2019. And researchers have confirmed that in a study that reveals the loss was largely down to a persistent zone of high pressure over the region. That's from The Guardian. Speaking for myself, they also wonder further down in the article whether that high pressure might come back annually, which would make quite a big problem. The ice sheet melted at a near record rate in 2019, they write, and much faster than an average of previous decades. Figures have suggested that in July alone, surface ice over Greenland declined by 197 million tons. That's equivalent of 80 million Olympic swimming pools. Now experts have examined the level of melting in more detail, revealing what drove it. Crucially, the team notes, the high-pressure conditions lasted for 63 of the 92 summer days in 2019, compared to an average of just 28 days between 81 and 2010. A similar situation was seen in 2012, a record bad year for melting of the ice sheets. So as I say, that's from The Guardian, and that's just the beginning of the article. So you can find it, you can pull it up at theguardian.com, I think, or guardian.co.uk is what I use. And from Radio Havana, Cuba, Donald Trump's decision to cut U.S. funding to the World Health Organization sparked international outrage and condemnation. Speaking for myself, you probably heard that while he was having his little hours-long tantrum outside the White House, faithfully covered by the stenographers and the media, he decided to try to blame the World Health Organization for all of the failures that he himself has committed, for slow-walking the response. He's hoping that'll work, I guess, for his reelection. But returning to the article from Radio Havana, Cuba, on Tuesday, Trump announced he would cut off U.S. support of the WHO, even as the death rate from the coronavirus pandemic continues to accelerate, with worldwide confirmed deaths topping 127,000. Observers say that Trump is seeking to shift blame for his administration's disastrous handling of the pandemic onto the United Nations Public Health Agency, accusing the WHO of helping China to cover up the spread of the coronavirus when it emerged late last year. Reacting to the announcement, Richard Horton, editor-in-chief of the Lancet Medical Journal, one of the most prestigious medical publications in the world, tweeted, quote, President Trump's decision to defund the World Health Organization is simply this, a crime against humanity. Every scientist, every health worker, every citizen must resist and rebel against this appalling betrayal of global solidarity, end quote. That same day, on Tuesday, the United States reported 2,228 people died of COVID-19, the highest one-day death toll for any nation. In New York, city officials have revised the death toll since the start of the pandemic to more than 10,000, adding in nearly 4,000 previously unreported deaths presumed to be caused by the coronavirus. About 1 in 800 New York City residents has died of the disease. On Tuesday, New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority agreed to a union demand for COVID-19 death benefits. Beneficiaries of transit workers who die of the virus will receive $500,000 and 3 years worth of health care benefits. At least 59 New York City subway and bus workers have died of COVID-19 so far, with more than 2,200 testing positive. That's the end of the Radio Havana article, but I want to comment on behalf of TriMet drivers that they are not getting sufficient protection. I used to be a TriMet driver. I'm retired, if you're wondering why I'm so concerned. And there was one driver who put up a clear curtain in a desperate effort to save himself from the COVID-19 that, of course, was passing into his bus every day. And he was told by TriMet to remove it, they said, for safety concerns. But I remember what TriMet's like. The real reason for them, in my opinion, the real reason for them having him remove his clear curtain between him and the passengers is because they didn't think of it first. And the culture, the motto of the culture there is, because I said so. Well, it's 11 minutes after the top of the hour. You're listening to KBOO Portland. You can hear this broadcast as a podcast. You can hear it on KBOO.fm. It'll pop up about an hour after I'm done. You can get it on other podcast aggregators, Apple, Twitter, iHeartRadio. It's around. I also want to let you know that I am available for comment also on Facebook as Teresa Mitchell and on Twitter as @KBOOPressWatch. @KBOOPressWatch on Twitter. I'm often reminded of the phrase fog of war these days. The COVID-19 virus is, of course, not a war, and the metaphor is problematic for a number of reasons, but the phrase applies pretty well, I think, because there's so much nonsense going around and a terrible need for relevant, useful information at the same time. On the other hand, I don't want to get into the sort of schadenfreude that goes along with upbraiding people for following some cockamamie explanation or quack cure for coronavirus. I don't want to shame anyone, but there is some powerfully poisonous disinformation going around, some of it from the president. The long and short of it is, the chloroquine simply doesn't work. And maybe this is where the dynamic of a radio broadcast can be actually helpful. It can be quite private. In fact, you may be listening to me with earbuds, and it has that quality of theater of the mind. So I want you to participate with me in dispelling some dangerous nonsense, not just about coronavirus itself, but about the economic implications and repercussions of the disaster. I could rant about how the Reagan counter-revolution brought this situation about. People have forgotten about Reagan's anti-intellectualism It did a lot more than merely scoff at science and learning. It put into play powerful doctrines that have stolen away our collective capacity to think critically. The path to Trump was laid by Reagan Republicans, who were sure that Americans had developed too much critical thinking skills. Their defunding of education and their alienization of idiots and bigots like Jerry Falwell the Elder banked the fires of white resentment and stupidity. We see the results now around us, all around us, and not just in those who identify as MAGA types. That hurt everyone over the succeeding generations. And I'm thinking particularly about the anti-vaxxer movement and the hysteria over 5G cell phone towers. The ironic thing is, I have a lot of criticism of vaccine production in the U.S., particularly the capitalist corporate shortcuts that have resulted in the use of squalene and mercury and vaccinating infants with 14 immune system irritants in one dose. Vaccine science is a wonderful and life-saving thing. And U.S. pharmaceutical corporations have cheapened it as much as they dare simply because they cannot make quick billions from the non-patentable injections that they grudgingly supply under legal requirements. They would rather kill your baby with a cytokine storm than do the right thing and space out the required vaccinations over time. When I read about the 5G EMF radiation being blamed for coronavirus, when I heard about cell phone towers being burned down, I had to look back to see if it was coming from The Onion, but people are convincing themselves that it's true, nudged along by ditzy public figures like Woody Harrelson. Apparently, the QAnon conspiracy theorists would pick it up, too. And here again, it's ironic because I do think that eager corporate investors have been all too quick to dismiss any and all problems with powerful and pervasive EMF radiation. They want their billions and really don't care if you get a tumor because it isn't going to pop up with a little flag that says caused by chromosome damage from an errant electromagnetic blast on November 1st, 2017 or some such. Excuse me. EMF radiation can cause health problems. And 5G represents an increase in that radiation in your home and workplace. It's obviously not that dangerous. You can find this and that from WebMD on a study of rats and cell phone radiation. Here's a quote: "The tumors that showed up in the rats are called schwannomas. They grew in the hearts of male rats, but not female rats. Perhaps because the males' larger bodies absorb more radiation than the females." That's according to a lead researcher. His name was John Butcher, PhD, a senior scientist with the National Toxicology Program, which did the cell phone radiation test on the rats. And even though the tumors were in the rats' hearts, the scientist said the finding was intriguing because previous studies had noticed a higher chance of having schwannomas in the inner ears of heavy cell phone users. But I'm not going to make a big deal about schwannomas in the inner ears of heavy cell phone users right now, because no one's getting that from 5G towers, and it's a matter of transmitted power.
We actually have a caller on the line, Gil.
Okay, every person who manages to convince themselves to ignore social distancing, finding an excuse like 5G cell phone towers is a major health problem. But rather than scoff at it, I'm going to explain why it can't possibly be the cause of the 2019 novel coronavirus outbreak. But before that, I'm going to go to the first caller. So hello, you're on the air.
This is Gil here. Thanks for taking my call, Susan. Oh, I just want to remind everybody that us who are at least on the more progressive left being faced with the decision that we're looking at, the idiots did lay this on our feet and gave us no choice to what we do. That said, the difference between Donald Trump and Mr. Biden is probably about 10%, is my guess. And it'll probably be just some social stuff. That's about it. If we want 40% of what we want, maybe 30, I suggest, and I'm going to do it myself, I'm going to call the party offices in D.C. and tell them that I am not going to vote for Mr. Biden unless he names either Stacey Abrams or Bernie Sanders or somebody significantly more left of him as a running mate. So at least I know some of my agenda might show up at the door.
I really agree with your attitude that it's going to take a lot more than our usual. It's going to take a lot more than voting. It's going to take a lot more than making the occasional phone call to get what we want, because everything is falling according to what Naomi Klein called the shock doctrine. We're in tremendous shock. Obviously, we've already had this tremendous ripoff in which this economic relief, 82% of it went to people in the 1%. And so we are going to have to fight back in a huge way. And it might be a little hypocritical of me to say this sort of thing, because I'm laid up even more than most people are laid up right now, waiting for an operation that I can't get because of COVID-19. But we are going to have to get very, very in their faces. We're really going to have to mobilize. And I'm actually pleased to see that people have improvised by sticking to social distancing by driving their cars to protest. And when you're in a car, you can honk your horn. And, you know, so this is a new thing. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'll, as far as any other kind of direct action, I seriously encourage everybody out there who may not have thought about it, but suddenly it's coming to mind, that all of your important public institutions, find out, do your research, and see if they've been attacked by privatization plans. And then what you do is you go and help educate yourself and others about how you take those back and make that the mechanism so that no matter what happens, we already have an infrastructure at the local level that's built to protect our public institution. And if you don't know what they are, the big ones, of course, healthcare is the number one, education, all that stuff. So I'll just
get
off my soapbox.
Thank you very much for that call.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that. Now I'm going to go back to taking part the 5G coronavirus theory, because it's not just that small portion of the population is the problem, but the problem is the general, well, we are ignorant, and we are unaware that we are ignorant, and we've got to address that. So let me talk about the 5G for a moment. The basis of the theory about 5G causing coronavirus, absurd as it seems, is that the investors who are building the towers aren't motivated by the desire for a quick buck, but by their commitment to a secret society's exterminationist agenda. It's Illuminati type thinking, and that should make you stop right there, because if you know the first thing about human nature, you know that the profit motive, and particularly the gonna make trillions by remaking society with technology motive, is vastly stronger than any secret handshake-making, cigar-smoking cabal. Investors want to make bank, and if they can get everyone tied into high-speed internet to the point that they're constantly watching 3D porn and spying on every face they in their Google Glass to see, the cash will roll in like a mighty river. And Illuminati theories are great fun, but it's money that makes the corporate world go around. So now that we've dispensed with the motive, let's look at the means. I said EMF radiation is known to be deleterious to health, but to what degree? What is its force? Every EMF microwatt that passes through your body makes your atoms dance a little bit, and that includes this radio broadcast. But there's a reason it passes right through you. It doesn't interact very much at all, and though the water in your body can be used as a radio antenna, you can try that sometime if you're between cities, the signal has to be sorted and amplified because it's tiny. 5G radiation is in the microwave range, or shortwave, if you prefer. And that's the frequency, though. When you talk about the amount of power, if you were to thrust your head next to a tower transmitter, you could get a burn. In fact, every transmitting antenna has a very small area around it in which its emissions are very broad, and that includes your cell phone or smartphone, which is why I recommend not jamming the thing into your ear for that reason. You can actually feel the heating if you do it long enough, but just half an inch away and the effect is nearly undetectable. So follow me on this. The radiation, and remember, this is electromagnetic spectra we were talking about, way far away from ionizing radiation spectra. Do you think those 5G towers can project enough radiation into you that it can immediately sicken you? It's not like you can just hold up a bag of popcorn to them and well, they can't. They do not have the power, and their radiated power is subject to a diminishing effect called the inverse square. They just aren't putting enough power into you, no matter the frequency, Kenneth, to make you come down with a deadly syndrome. So you can stare into the sun long enough and you can go blind, but stare all you want at a candle and your eyes will be just fine. As a matter of fact, those earbuds that you're wearing right now are putting a lot more EMF into your brain right now than 5G ever will, and they're not hurting you. It's passing harmlessly through. The broader implication of the 5G theory is that pathologists and virologists and MDs and biologists and epidemiologists who follow the COVID-19 outbreak for what it is are fools, and that Woody Harrelson is a genius by comparison who's figured it all out. You know, that's a very comforting thought to people who were humiliated by the nerds day after day in middle and high school science class. That sort of ignorance requires a great deal more than a mere explanation. The Dunning-Kruger syndrome explains that phenomenon well enough. Look that up. And that and the post-Reagan anti-intellectualism I complained about just now, I guess. That and the mega mob psychology that allows deluded people to smirk and shrug and grin in their ignorance, supporting group decisions in much the same way packs of dogs do. It's a terrifying and appalling thing to behold now that it has such a grip on 63 million of us. And it took two generations of science degeneration to get there. It isn't just the internet. So don't be a part of it. I have a little test for you here, and though I know this audience is self-selecting and that you have more sense than many, I want you to take this quiz with me. It'll be easy, and ask yourself how many people you know who would fail several of these questions. The answer could determine whether you are going to be soon exposed to the virus, because one of the reasons COVID-19 is hitting the USA so hard is that we've been conditioned to accept group nonsense as the equivalent of science. And people are just dismissing the science and getting together wherever they think is, well, they're getting together in churches for one thing. This is from Forbes. It's by Emily Willingham. At one middle school where I've taught, she writes, we gave the kids in general science course this quick assessment on the first and last days of class to evaluate their incoming and outgoing basic science literacy. Obviously, some of these questions also reflect expected cultural deflections of science facts, which we address during the course of the semester. How do you fare? So I'll start with these true or false questions. So let these bounce off you. All diseases are caused by germs, true or false? All radioactivity is human-made. Electrons are smaller than atoms. The continents on which we live have been moving to their locations for millions of years and will continue to move in the future. The earliest humans lived at the same time as the dinosaurs. The center of the Earth is hot. The oxygen we breathe comes from plants. Lasers work by focusing sound waves. Now, I could go down the list, and by now, you know, some of these are real ringers. But the shocking thing is, there's one question here, does the A, Earth go around the Sun, or B, Sun go around the Earth? You'd be shocked how many people don't know the answer to that. You'd be shocked by how many people think that lasers work by focusing sound waves. You'd be shocked to know how many people think that humans lived at the same time as dinosaurs, and it's pointless, as I was saying, to sneer at them. We have to get our fellow citizens some basic education, one way or another. They didn't get it in the schools. They're certainly not getting it from right-wing media. We have to find a way, frankly, for remedial education so that we can gin up some democracy in this country. Time is 9:26 Pacific. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And now here's a little trick I just pulled. Those questions that that I just asked, one of them was, my favorite was, radioactive milk can be made safe by boiling it. Of course, that's false, but those questions, I said they were asked of middle school students. No. These questions are asked of college students. So now that we've had our fun, I want to express my opinion that the generally accepted notion that we are rapidly approaching the point of liberation from our social distancing regime is dangerous nonsense. It's predicated on the apparently unexamined idea that the stay-at-home policies in several cities and states in the U.S. are the dynamic equivalent of the Wuhan quarantine and the South Korean and Singaporean quarantines. We have accomplished no such thing. In Wuhan, the streets were deserted, the city was blocked off for anyone coming or going, and no one was allowed out of their apartment without a pass for weeks and weeks. As a matter of fact, there are videotapes of people catching officials welding the doors of apartment buildings shut to keep people in. In South Korea, the government rapidly produced hundreds of thousands of test kits, and they were immediately and very widely applied. Everyone participated, and everyone was tracked in their movements by a cell phone, so it became eventually possible to identify and isolate infected persons and to track persons who had met with those persons. They even have an app which allows you to look at your surroundings and see if anyone who's been infected with COVID-19 has passed nearby. The USA has done nothing of the sort. The social distancing we have done here is definitely having a good effect, but it is very spotty in its application. Right now, death is actually accelerating. People have been regularly going out to grocery stores, liquor stores, marijuana stores, and even parks and the beaches, sauntering right past the warning signs with very little immediate enforcement. The virus is still in general circulation, and a removal of the minimal measures we have participated in so far will result in disaster. I want the quarantine lifted just as much as you do, but facts are facts. Science is science, and we can't yet. Absolutely not. fantasize for a moment, Hamilton, Nolan writes in these times, that we could set aside politics and operate based on common sense, what would the federal government do best to mitigate the devastation this pandemic will visit upon human beings? It would at first provide free health care to everyone. It would distribute medical resources nationally based on the greatest need. Then to protect people from necessary economic deep freeze we are all in due to social distancing, the government would pursue measures that would get everyone through this time in one piece. It would subsidize the nation's payrolls so that workers could stay in their jobs and businesses could restart easily. It would suspend rent for people and businesses alike. It would send everyone a monthly basic income to pay for necessities until this is over, and would avoid allowing small businesses to go bankrupt because those represent millions of jobs that people need to return to. And speaking for myself, I agree with his assessments. And you can find it in inthesetimes.com and look at that. I've run out of time for Press Watch. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. We're going out to you via 90.7 FM on our great big red and white transmitter on the Hill and other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia. And we're also going out to you via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.